The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Awesome sauce. It's Expository Thursday on Friday. That's cool. And first up is the understanding that what we did in the past has got to be in the past. Plus, we're going to deal with talking about what we talk about. Our mouths, our speech, and our language. And finally, there's a twist to the plot.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey there. Hey, how you? I'm good. How you? Good. Yeah, all right. We're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. Any topic is open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. This is, because it is Expository Thursday, Friday. You know, I got to get Johnny Hill to come in on another day because we're supposed to have Expository Thursday on Thursday, but now it's Friday, so I can't. I just don't know what else to do. But because that happens, we don't do much of our sponsorships. You know, we just say, thank you. Did you want to play them all right in a row? Could you just do that? And I love when you do that. Let's see if we can pull that off.
Here I come to save the day.
Well, we're moving on now.
We're moving on now.
There you go. That's it. That's our way to say thank you to everybody who is a ministry partner. We just want to give you some acknowledgement there right off the bat. Let's get into the unique holidays and the history, because then we've got a lot of text to cover today. It is Friday, but it's good to take the Word of God into your brain and process through it. I got a very special little twist in it that we're going to do, but just asking my good friend Wonder Julie what she knows about in regards to holidays. Do you have any idea?
I don't. I think Sunday's like Women's Day, though.
Okay. There are 10 holidays today.
Okay.
This is the most I have ever seen. Ready for this?
I'm ready.
All right. I'm going to go through the list and then just pick out the ones I like. It's Employee Appreciation Day. It's Frozen Food Day. It's Middle Name Pride Day. It's National Salesperson Day. It's World Day of Prayer. It's Dentist Day. Alamo Day. National Oreo Cookie Day. National Frozen Food Day. And National White Chocolate Cheesecake Day.
What's your middle name?
Scott.
Scott. I'm a Marie.
Are you? You're a Marie?
Yes.
Ah, that's why Easton Scott. He was named after me.
Nice.
See how that works. And then I have one child that doesn't have a middle name. Well, he has a middle name, but it didn't get on the birth certificate.
Is there just a blank?
Yes. This. I was a young parent. Leave me alone.
What's his name?
It was because it was supposed to be Leonard was his middle name, and I was like, hey, I fixed that, and never replaced it. Okay. So he's known as, there's nothing there.
He just doesn't say anything. Yeah. My name's Scott
Yeah, his name is Spoon. Jeremiah. He just goes, I'm Jeremiah Spoon.
Jeremiah.
Just leave it alone. What's your middle name? I'm Jeremiah Spoon. That's his second response. I do think, people appreciate frozen food and stuff like that. National salespeople, it's hard to be a salesperson.
It is. I couldn't do it.
It's tough. The rejection's horrible. Oh. I've had people that were really, but then, I try to be nice on the phone every once in a while. I try to, because I understand that's a difficult. I also feel bad for customer service people. I had to talk to the state of Texas today in regards to the franchise tax board for the nonprofit, and you can just tell when the guy answered the phone, he must have just hung up with somebody who was really mad. And I said, it's okay, dude. I promise I'm not here to bite your head off. I mean, you really have to say, because people get so mean to people.
They can be, yes.
Yeah, that's going to be actually in the beginning of part of our teaching. It's like, yeah, you don't got to do that.
Well, you don't.
You don't have to do that. All right. So also, for those that want to know today, Texas Volunteers are defeated at the Alamo on this day in 1836. Yeah. So technically, that's where the Alamo Day comes in. New world record on this day in 1964 for the mile, 3 minutes and 56 seconds. That was the breaching. Once, I think people don't understand this. Nobody ever thought they would break the 4-minute mile. I mean, it stood the test of time for a really long time. Then once it broke, it was broken like 19 times. They kept breaking it. So they were like, no, can't happen. And then all of a sudden people are like, oh, no, it can happen. And then once that happened, it started to happen more. It's like, wow.
I'm pretty much a 10-minute miler.
Are you? That's good for me. I'm a 25-minute miler on a scooter.
Actually, I can't run a mile right now. I probably could if there was a lion behind me.
No, I can run a mile. I can go. I'm a distance. About 10 years ago, when I was 49, I ran 50 miles in a week.
Oh, my gosh.
In a week.
I've run six before.
Yeah, no, and I was doing 7 1/4 a day.
Ow.
Yeah, that was a lot. And now I try and do 7 brownies a day. It's close. It's because I get a lot of work on my elbow.
You get winded walking to the fridge.
Exactly.
Okay.
I like it that the fridge goes, hi, Dave. It makes me feel good. On this day in 1981, Walter Cronkite's last CBS evening news broadcast, he was a man that was, they said, most trusted in America until they found out that he was actually a political, more political than he wanted to admit.
And that's the truth.
That's, you can't change that, folks. You can't undo the record. It's like, that's what's there. Here's one that I did find was kind of interesting. 1943, on this day, the first atomic bomb was detonated. The residents of Hanford, Washington were given 30 days notice to vacate. The United States government was buying the land to build a production facility, and they were given 30 days to say, you can either sell to us or we're just going to blow up a bomb in your backyard. It's like, I'd be like, sell.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's a big motivator right there.
So that's it?
All right. Yep. Let's go into our...
Tomorrow, spring forward.
Oh, yeah, right? The clocks change.
Tomorrow night, spring forward.
Now, what time does that change? Like really
2
late?
O'clock.
2 o'clock in the morning or something?
Okay. Yes. You don't actually have to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning. You can do it before you go to bed.
Oh, before you go to bed. That's a good idea.
That's what most people do. You can do it any way you want at your house.
Okay. I'm going to just have my wife do
you
it.
You are
because,
the spooninator.
Yeah, because, I mean, the reality check is that if I do it, I'll put the wrong time. I'll probably go back an hour, and then we'll all be in trouble.
Right.
Now, just for people to know, you're not actually losing an hour. I know you think you're losing an hour, but you're not actually losing an hour. You have the same amount of time that God has allotted from the very beginning. You're just changing a clock. And I am from Arizona. I've lived in Arizona, not originally, but I lived there for 16 years. I can say it is understandable that in Arizona, they don't change the clock. You want to know why? Too complex. All right. Let's just go on. Let's do our newer intro for expository teaching.
Wow! 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 All I can say is wow! 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 All I can say is wow!
I love that. Let's do that. That's great. When we do expository teaching, do both.
I like the combo.
Yeah, that's fantastic. All right, here we go. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to be talking about verse 28, 29, 30, but I want to set it up with verse 25. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we're all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Here's verse 28. He who has been stealing must steal no longer. Hey, wait a minute. Can we send that to the government? He who must be stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Let's stop right there before we go to verse 30. So let's talk about this. Paul has just gone through a theological treaty of old style, old people in the flesh, rejecting God, having no purpose. They're calloused in their hearts. They can't do anything in the kingdom per se because they don't really believe in the kingdom. They reject the kingdom. And Paul's like, you cannot be this way. That was your past. This is your future. This is your present, your future. Do not walk the way you used to walk. You have the power through the authority of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit's living inside of you. You're communing with the Father through the Son by the Spirit on a regular basis. Okay, those of you people that were stealing in the past, stop stealing and do something useful with your own hands, that you have something to share with those in need. That, by the way, is not Paul saying everybody should whittle. Okay, so let's not, you're missing the spirit of what he's trying to say. That's over legalizing. He's just trying to say, hey, do stuff good. Do stuff useful. Do something helpful for the body. People that are stealing, I got to break that out. As a new man, you got to turn the old habits and the habits of bad things, you got to turn those into good habits. And so there are a lot of us in our past, I have done every one of those things that you are not supposed to do. Done it. But I don't do it now as a Christian. Why? Because Jesus Christ is in my heart by faith. The Holy Spirit lives inside me, and I'm trying to honor God by what I do. I make the conscious, regular, everyday decision not to do stuff that's wrong, but to choose to do the right thing in order to try in my processes to honor God and to bring glory to Him by the life I live. It's not complex. Don't make this more. Sometimes we do get into scripture and it gets overly deep. And it's like, don't get overly deep. And my devotions today was overly deep. Past, present, future tense, prophecies here and this and this. And it's like, look, here's what he's saying. You know what you used to be? Don't do that. You know how you used to be a jerk? Don't do that. That's what it says. It says, those of you that are stealing, steal no longer. Work. Do something useful with your own hands. You have something to share with those in need. The whole idea of sharing, and I don't got a lot of time for this, but the whole idea is to work to help others, to build other people, strengthen other people, lift up other people. The idea of sharing is that it's not just for your consumption. So when it says he who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, do something useful with those hands, that he may have something to share with those in need, be a participator, a sharer. Now, it's impossible, by the way, to obey this command that comes through Scripture if you're not in fellowship. I don't know how you do it. If you can't be in fellowship, I'm not talking about it. But if you can be in fellowship and you just choose not to, that's a problem because you can't fulfill this. You see, the whole love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself, hugely important. But if you never have contact with people in any capacity, whether it's believers or unbelievers, and you try and stay completely isolated and you're monkish, guess what? You can't honor the commandments that God gave. It's like, that's not brilliant, is it? I mean, I don't, that's not the way to do it. Do something to you so that you can be sharing, so that you can be participating. I really think it's an important point to say to one another that we should be working to help others and not just build our own little kingdom. You know, you have your own little kingdom, and don't try and tell me you don't have your own little kingdom. You have your own bed, you have your own house, you have your own sink, you have your own toilet, you have your own fridge, you have your own washer dryer, you have your own little parameter area. You know what's safe, you know what's not, you know what comes in, you know what goes out. You say what you have a kingdom. But the idea is to help and to share, to participate, to build up others and their kingdom, and not just focus on our own. Okay, that's what it is. We come back, we're going to hit to verse 29. Tough stuff coming. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, we'll be back.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry.
What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
John 7:24, stop judging by mere appearance and make a right judgment. That's all good. From 1 Corinthians 6:2, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? You can't say Christians can't judge. They're commanded to. Here it is right here. Ready? Here's the bowling ball knocking down the pins. Every day as Christians, we have to judge what is appropriate, proper, healthy, and useful. Also, what people we believe we should hang out with, trust, believe in, or let influence, we have to judge that on a regular basis. When you choose your church, you're using your judgment abilities.
Bazinga.
I love that. Because listen, when you're choosing your church, you have to decide to pick one over another. Oh, here's the key. You're going to hate me. Ready? Here it is. If we have no ability to judge, we can't vote. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I don't know if you heard that last little bit on judging. That guy needs medicine right there. You are welcome to call us, 972-445-0770. You can say howdy. I do have a trivia question, by the way, coming in your direction right now. It's pretty straightforward. What did Laban make Jacob do to finally marry Rachel? What did Laban make Jacob do to finally marry Rachel? It's a pretty standard answer. It doesn't have to be perfectly worded or anything like that. 972-445-0770. If you think you know the answer, I'd love to give you $1 billion, but I don't have $1 billion, so you're not going to get that. But you will get the bell and the acknowledgement that you got it correct. That is what we can offer you. Don't forget, you can go to hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. On there is audio, video. There's an opportunity to give to help us expand the ministry. We hope you will seriously consider that as we are looking to keep the ministry going forward. Again, hemustincrease.org. If you are unable to participate, do not feel bad or guilty in any possible capacity. I grew up in a Jewish home. My mom she loved me to no end, but she knew how to wield guilt. She's like the wielder of guilter, right? No. All I ask for you, all that I could ever ask anybody is please petition the Lord on our behalf. If you are unable to do something, please do that. That's what we would ask you. Okay, again, what did Laban make Jacob do to finally marry Rachel? It's a pretty straightforward answer. If you are unaware, your answer is going to be in Genesis with Jacob having the different deals that he made with Laban. Laban, not the nicest guy in the world. 972-445-0770. That's all I got to say about that. Here we go, verse 29. And it says this, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Oh, looks like we got somebody calling in. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Well, hi, David. This is Joyanne. I have the answer, I believe.
Oh, awesome. It's so nice to have you call in. You're okay. You're feeling pretty comfortable for the answer? Feel pretty good?
Yes, I am. I actually taught on it in Sunday school.
That's pretty good, then. All right, what you got?
Yeah. So it's in, let's see, Genesis 28 and 29. He had to marry Leah.
Yes. And then what's the next thing he had to do to get Rachel?
Work another 7 years.
Bingo! Ding, ding, ding! You got it. Yeah. That is exactly right. So, and do you remember? You just taught it, so you're probably going to remember. So you remember he worked 7 years originally and worked another 7 years. Here's the deal. Do you remember what the Bible says about that 7 years because he was so in love with Rachel?
It was just like nothing. It went so fast.
Exactly.
It was wonderful. He was in love.
Exactly. When you are passionate about a person, or when you are passionate about a cause, or when you are passionate about something and it has just filled your heart, it is time has a funny way of being no longer in the front or as a priority because of how important it is to you.
Amen. That I love it.
Excellent job.
And the Lord bless you. You cheer us up so much.
Well, thank you so
you
much.
You make us laugh.
I appreciate that. That means you think I'm funny, so I got to tell my wife somebody thinks I'm funny. Okay.
Yeah, tell Noel you're very delightful.
Oh, I appreciate that very much, and I appreciate you calling in. Excellent
thank
job.
Thank you. God bless.
You
thank
too.
You.
Bye-bye. Boy, she got that, hit that right on the head, right? She's just teaching it. Like, yeah, man, I got that answer. Oh, she had it all. That was great job. Really, really good. All right, let's talk about the unwholesome talk coming out of your mouth. So there's a couple of people that have used this from the pulpit to talk about this being vulgar jokes. Vulgar jokes are just vulgar. It just kind of tells you out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you kind of should know that without this verse. This verse really focuses in on something else, and we're going to key in on that. But, yeah, the vulgar jokes, sorry. That's just not, it's not in play because it reveals your heart and you've got vulgarity in your heart. You got a whole nother problem. Okay. It's a secondary issue. But there's something really important about the talk part. Ready? I'm going to do a really interesting body test for you. Okay. Now, you don't have to go to a mirror, but think about your face. Okay. Just think about your face. Okay. Don't laugh. Just think about your face for a second. How many mouths do you have? One. Okay, wait, get ready. Here you go. How many ears do you have? Two. So therefore, the talking listening ratio should be pretty self-evident. 2-to-1 ratio. Be swift to hear and slow to speak, James says. It's like there's a reason why God gave you 2 ears and 1 mouth. And don't tell me it's all about stereo. It's all about God trying to say, a little less there, a little more here. You might be getting closer to what I'm trying to do for you. So the idea is for us to be careful about what comes out of our mouth. And we know Proverbs 18:21 that out of the, you know, the life and death are in the power of the tongue. And the most evident thing that Paul is talking about, and don't let any wholesome tongue come out of your mouth, is comes from the word slander. That's really what he's saying when he says unwholesome. And that word slander, that Greek, so it goes, it's a combination word, and then you back it up into the core words and so on and so forth. And that word means rotten, mean words. Words that hurt people, that slander. And I'm telling you, when you are engaging with people, if you say something that's mean, you can see the countenance on their face change. If you watch a child, this is a perfect example. If you watch a child and a child goes up to an adult and the adult is embracing and lifting up and speaks life, that child's face lights up. You just watch next time you're by a nursery at church or anywhere where there's a group of kids and watch if the adult speaks in this life-giving approach, you look at the face of the children. They just, bing, they shine bright. And so the whole principle here is to, I mean, you're gonna just hate this, but it's true. Say something nice. You've already said plenty that's not nice in your lifetime. Okay? You've probably got your fill. You've probably already kind of gotten that taken care of. Say something nice because God is listening. And all you got to do is think, if Jesus is in the room when you're talking, would you say what you're going to say? Like, if he was in the room, would you catch an eye from Jesus because of how you said or what you said, the spirit you said it with? You know, Malachi 2:17, not taught on very often. People talk about Malachi, and they always talk about the tithes and the offerings in 3:10, so on and so forth. But they rarely talk about Malachi 2:17, which God says, you have wearied me with your words. Like, oops, whoops, I'm just going to be quiet, thanks. And what the scripture says is, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Don't let slanderous talk come out of your mouth. Don't let rotten, mean words come out of your mouth. Say something nice, or you could get in a little trouble there with the Lord, so you want to be careful. Unless it's a rebuke or something that's like that's genuine and biblical and righteous, that's kind of a different story. But that's not what Paul's talking about. He's talking about people that say just nasty stuff. Like, be quiet. Okay, put the lips together. Okay, they can go together. They fit together. And the idea is that the rest of the verse says, but only what's helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it might benefit those who listen. The idea is to speak words that lift up, that build. There's a couple reasons why this takes place. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. God is a God of life. He speaks, life happens. He speaks, the world's created. He speaks, the universe is created. He speaks, you're saved. Life happens. Your words should have an impact that brings life. It's sin that brought death. And so that what I want you to be aware of is to speak life. Speak according to their needs. Sometimes you'll run into people, you don't have to give them brilliant advice. There's I don't want to get into that realm right now, but, you know, sometimes in psychology, it's just, you know, there's all this dissecting, whatever. You know, sometimes people just need to know, man, you're an awesome person. Thank you. And I've often said on this show, and I think the tapes would testify to this, sometimes just saying to somebody, even more than I love you, the phrase, I appreciate you, oh, that goes miles. Because I love you has become so used that it has become, for some people, it has lost some of its edge. But when you get into an I appreciate you, I deeply appreciate what you do for me, what you do for others, how you love, how you talk, how you speak, how you encourage, that's gold. That's gold. And when we're building others up according to their needs, not according to us flattering, not according to us so that we can get some kind of bonus because we're saying something nice. It's according to the person that has the need, and it's going to benefit the people that listen. When you speak, be a benefit. I'm going to make this really easy, okay? You get a job. When you get your job, you get a paycheck. With that paycheck, in many jobs or most jobs, you get benefits. This is a benefit, right? You might get health insurance, you might get life insurance, you might get this, you might get a stipend here, you might get this. All of those things that you get are benefits. Well, when you speak, let's make sure that it's a benefit, okay? That it's beneficial. I'm not talking about a bank or a dog food. I'm talking about beneficial, your words, so that people who hear and listen to what you have to say can be blessed. And guess what will happen if you do that? It will be returned to you by the Lord, and he will bless you for being a blessing to others. You have to love that. Now, when we come back, I'm going to take a right-hand turn. Blow your mind. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
GOP congressman's gay son was going to come on their show, and they were going to talk to him, and CNN and MSNBC canceled the interview because he wouldn't criticize his father. He wouldn't downgrade his father because his father maintained his beliefs. His son becomes gay, makes a decision, by the way, to become gay. And the son will not criticize the father who does not change his Christian convictions. Will not change them. Father won't change them. Son will not criticize the father for that. MSNBC and CNN both canceled their interviews because the guy would not crucify his father. That is, of all things, as low as the press can go.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Are you driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. It slices, it dices, it cleans up dirty spots, lickety-split, and makes julienne fries. And right now, for a tremendous discount, you can have a Commercial Whammy too. All you need to do is call KAAM or send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, and bam! You have your own Commercial Whammy before you know it. Call now and you can get a second Commercial Whammy for half the price. That's right. Call now for your very own Commercial Whammy. 972-445-1700 or email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Don't delay. Call today. Operators are standing by.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We want to remind you, if you want to call the show, 972-445-0770. You can call and say howdy. By the way, I neglected to take extra time to give a big, just that big shout out to Samson, who had asked for a prayer request. We prayed on the show, and he was able to get a job. It's not because we prayed, but all of us praying together is a part of all of the stuff that happens. And we love that. And so if you do have a prayer request, we're glad to pray for you. Hopefully you'll get the answer and you'll be able to have a praise report. We'd love it when prayer requests, I can talk, don't worry, prayer requests turn into praise reports, right? That's kind of a cool, thing there. A couple other things I want to say. One, website, hemustincrease.org. Email, david@hemustincrease.org. Sometimes if you email me, you'll see the old email is still attached because we're still going through the process of the, you know, some of those little things. So I have double emails on my He Must Increase. So david@hemustincrease.org, or you can always go to the website, fill out a form. Nobody gets the information. Nobody else sees it. It's private. It's secure. And we just pray for you. And that's what we do. We're praying for everybody that that touches base with us that we know of. We pray for. I pray for you guys in mass. I just don't know how. Not at mass, I said in mass. So, I mean, I'm praying in that general capacity, the Lord be with you, help you, answer your prayers, and, you know, and then we pray for our ministry partners, people we've had on the show, and all the people that reach out to us. That's all you can do. and do the best we can, bring it before the Lord. Okay, two quick things. One, I wasn't going to say anything, and I'm probably going to get in trouble, and nobody's going to like me when I say this. I'm not saying this to irritate anybody. Really, I'm not, but it's just on my brain a little bit, and that is this whole, you know, the LGBT community wants 20% of everything that takes place in Hollywood to represent LGBTQTURSTUVWXYZ. Here's the problem. They're not 20% of the population. They're 4.8%, 4.76% to be exact by their own stats. Same amount of people that have tennis elbow. It just irritates me because it's like, it's not true. So it's like, you know, I would like there to be a Jewish Christian on every sitcom there is, and I will play that person.
I don't think I'm going to get a lot of calls for that. I'm just going to go out on a limb.
Let's do a trivia, and then I'm going to really throw you a curve, so you better be ready. Here's our trivia question. What did Esau receive in exchange for his birthright? Sticking in Genesis. Staying in Genesis, are you, Dave? Yeah. 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. What did Esau receive in exchange for his birthright? Remember? Sold his birthright. Dum, 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 dum. Okay, here we are just finished in this last segment talking about not letting any unwholesome or slanderous talk that comes out of your mouth. I want to talk about a very important principle that a lot of people have had some controversy in. And even when I was finishing up my soteriology class and another class with a professor, a great, great professor, Jeffrey Anderson at Regent, great guy. And one of the things that came up is this whole stuff that comes out of your mouth. And there is, in many ways, a call within the scriptures for us to be a thankful people. And I'm going to tell you right now, and just in case you're wondering, so you'll never wonder again, I am a absolute firm believer that the most important principle in regards to the words of your mouth are thankfulness, period. In fact, I may actually write my dissertation for my PhD on the theology of thankfulness. And here's why. What happens is, and we're going to go back to Ephesians in a bit, but here's what's going on. When it talks about this passage here, when it says, don't let any wholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what's helpful to others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen, you understand that the mouth has a tremendous amount of power. There's a lot of strength that comes out from our words. Words, you know that old saying, sticks and stones can break my bones, but names can never hurt me. That's the farthest thing from the truth, because words have started wars. So that's not true at all. And in fact, if you've ever been married, you know how powerful words really are. And if you've had children, if you were a child, or if you're a parent, you know how powerful words are. But what God calls you and I to is this really unique place of being a thankful people. Let me just use the one passage in context. You know, where it talks about rejoice always, pray in all things, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I just want you to be aware that in case people are like, well, that's not the context. It's exactly the context. In fact, rejoice always, pray in all things, pray without ceasing. It's all of it right in a row together. That is the actual context of the whole letter that Paul's writing in Thessalonians. I just want you to hear this from these nine different versions, just this first line, and just maybe let this settle in a little. New American Standard is probably the most accurate to the Greek that anybody can find. ESV is close, but not as close as New American Standard. It says this, in everything give thanks. The next version, New King James, in everything give thanks. King James, in everything give thanks. Christian Standard, give thanks in everything. Contemporary English, whatever happens, keep thanking God. Good News, be thankful in all circumstances. Holman, give thanks in everything. International Standard, in everything be thankful. Net Bible, in everything give thanks. Why? Why? That's the question. And the answer is because if you believe that God really loves you, now I'm going right to the core here. If you really believe that God loves you, the things that he allows in your life, you will believe, according to his word, he has an ultimate purpose in. Now, you might not like the situation. You might not like the circumstance or how it feels, but God will bring it to a place that is glorifying his name and benefits you one way or another. And you know that's true because you know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. And ultimately, God will bring it into good. So the question is, can you be thankful in the beginning, in the middle, and in the end? And the answer to that is God, always was, always is, and always will be. And so God, because he's the God of all time, past, present, and future, you ought to be thankful in all phases. Why? Because God is looking out for your best interests. Let me say something that's going to really offend people. In our theologies, we have this, everything good is God, everything bad is the devil. That's our theology. Many people walk in that, right? You are unable to defend that in Scripture. You don't have to ask me. You can just ask any theologian. You cannot defend that in Scripture. Your mind might tell you that, but I'll tell you five reasons why God allows suffering, no matter what the agency is that brings it in your life. I'll give you five straight reasons, and let's see if you can defend it against any of them. Number one, God's killing sin in your life by making you more dependent on him when you go through suffering. Number two, you grow in godliness. Number three, you remove yourself from the temporal and start thinking about the eternal. Nobody can deny that. Number four, according to James 1 and Peter 1, your faith becomes more genuine. And number five, it connects you more to Jesus Christ because he suffered. That's just a fast five. And why I bring that up is because whatever you're going through, as tough as it is, as bad as it is, you can genuinely be thankful. It's not that you're thankful that you have a lack of funds. It's that you're thankful that in this process of having a lack of funds, God will help you get through. It's not the lack of funds you say thank you for. It's God who will not abandon you in your circumstance. And that's why it can be a genuine, sincere praise. I am one of the least preachers on positive thinking and, you know, this positive this. And I hate that stuff. But I don't dislike Norman Vincent. I just hate the way that it's all applied, like with this big pasty hand saying everything's just everybody just smile. I don't like that. But what I do believe in is speaking and believing according to Scripture. And if I believe that in everything, in all things, that they work out for good, and I believe he leads us into triumph in all things, if I believe that if God be for us, who can be against us? If I believe that God is on our side, so to speak, or we're on his side, although it does say both, by the way, in the Bible. If I believe any of that, then I have to believe that God is for me. I mean, he became one of us to help us, and is going to get me through. And my thankfulness is not, I'm thankful that I am behind. My thankfulness is that God will not abandon me in this circumstance. And it's not manipulation, because it doesn't mean it's going to turn out the way you think it is, but there is a trust that says, however it turns out, the Lord knows. And he's going to use it to help me. That's faith, believing that God cares about you. Not just this big pie in the sky, well, he did this big thing, but he doesn't really like me personally. That's just got to stop. That's just immaturity. You might go through the hardest trial, and it's not that God dislikes you. If he disliked people, they'd all be gone. He loves you, and he's going to spend eternity with you. In this process, who knows what the ultimate element's going to be, but you know because God is involved, it will turn to his glory and for your benefit. And for that, while you go through it, you can be thankful. I don't believe it speeds up any process, but I do believe it expresses genuine faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So I believe they work hand in hand, that we have faith and we express thankfulness because that's appropriate for all that he does, has done for us, is doing for us, and will do for us. How do you like that sidebar? Yeah. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break, then coming back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
I did what most Christian men would do when they make a mistake. It's their fault. There's nothing but humiliation on your face, and you're trying to recover in the moment. And you know what I did? I blamed it on every possible unseen force except for myself.
You have chosen wisely.
So guess who knocked that crystal light on that white carpet? It was Satan, by golly. Well, it was at that moment, because it certainly wasn't my fault. I didn't knock the crystal light all over. It was my glass. I did pour it. I did bring it to the table, and somehow fell on the carpet and spread everywhere. And by golly, I wasn't going to take the blame for it, because that would be taking personal responsibility. Well, I'm not taking personal responsibility. After all, that $500 deposit we just had that we were hoping to get back when we move out is already down to $200. And it was dropping by the dollar as the stuff was spreading.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
On Christ the solid rock I stand.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Check out HeMustIncrease.org if you get a chance. We'd love it to. Our number, we do have a trivia question on the board, actually. It is, what did Esau receive in exchange for his birthright? Or, said in the more normal human tones, what Esau sold his birthright? What did he get for it? That would be how we would say it. What do you get for it? What do you get? Went down to the swap market, sold it. What do you get? Okay? Keep it simple. I'm going to read verse 30. I'm going to talk about verse 30 for about 3 seconds, then I'm going to go back the other direction. Verse 30 out of this text, so remember we went 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Verse 30 is connected to verse 29. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, first off, in the Greek, there is no break. There is no verse 29, verse 30, paragraph spacing. That doesn't exist. Second, the word and connects one sentence to the other. So it's like speak really beneficial things that lift people up. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. That's all like one thought. And I think a lot of people think grieving the Holy Spirit has a lot to do with, you know, ignoring the Holy Spirit, not believing that he can lead you, different elements, and those are going to be correct in many ways, but it is absolutely connected to what we say, period. what we say is directly connected to grieving or the Holy Spirit, which, by the way, the word grieve means to make sad, not to limit. There's another place where it talks about limiting, but actually it's a word for grieving. And so here, in this context, you get you can quench the spirit. There's a lot of stuff that can happen from your mouth. It's like, yeah. And I just want to kind of reiterate that because I kind of went fast on this and didn't key in on one element. And that is, we mentioned 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, but I can give you the rest of the verse. It says, in every translation, by the way, it says, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. For this is God's will for you. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You can say it 100 different ways. It all comes down to the same thing. Giving thanks in every circumstance is God's will for you. You think, well, what am I supposed to do in this circumstance? Learn to be genuinely, not manipulatively, not fake, but learn to be genuinely thankful that God is involved in your life and nothing happens apart from him. And he will, does one sparrow fall to the ground that he doesn't know about? No. But people go, well, the sparrow fell to the ground. It must be Satan. It's like, no. Just so you can know, I'm harping on it for a reason. I just have to deal with it. In Ephesians 5, when we get to this text later on, in verse 5, in chapter 5, verse 19, it says, speak to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're thinking, you say I got to be thankful for everything. The alternative is to complain. Is there sin in complaining? Okay. I think a whole group of people got wiped out for that. And this is the other part that many times, I mean, I sat here on, was it Tuesday or Wednesday? Where I sat here with Kimberly and we were talking about some of the trials we were going through. And we were both like, gosh, you know, I wish we knew what to do. What does God want us to do? What's the next step? And I don't think there's anything weird with asking God, what's the next step and what do I do to get from point A to point B? But in the meantime, until those things are revealed or until that understanding is given for what you should actually do or until you make that decision under counsel or with wisdom, whatever the form of guidance you're using, in the meantime, you cannot deny that Scripture says, be thankful in every circumstance, all circumstance, by the way, all and every, these huge English words mean all and every, and it says, this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Tons of people are like, what's the will of God for me? You want God to give you a very specific task, but you won't do what he's telling you plainly. Is that what we're going with? Now, I'm guilty of this, and that's why I'm talking about it with such passion. That's why I'm seriously considering this as my dissertation, because I, well, besides the fact that I was born and raised Jewish and am a Christian 41 years, I do a lot of complaining. I have a wife that is so enduring and so much able to bear with me. I do a lot of complaining, and I complain to God. But I'm honest about it. But I think the Lord's saying, you're doing a lot of complaining. Maybe you should do more praising. I'm thinking that's just right. Because ultimately, we were created for the glory of God. Ultimately, in heaven, it will be all about us giving praise. Ultimately, it'll be about us worshiping. And don't try and split hairs with praise and thanksgiving. And don't stop that. An attitude of gratitude towards the King of Kings. An attitude of gratitude towards the creator of the universe. Got it. And so I encourage you to do that. I beseech you to do that. I ask you to pray for me that I would do that. And I'm going to pray for you that you would do that. And I'm aware, I've read the material, even the theological tree, of people that are against this. Well, this is this and this is this. You know, essentially, when you say you're against it, you're complaining about people saying thanks to God. I just don't want to get before the throne and have God go, so your teaching was people shouldn't say thank you? Well, it's a misappropriated thank you, God, because those thank yous, Lord, because they were thanking you in that circumstance. And you just see the response. So you're complaining because people were saying thank you? It's like, wow. I don't want to be anywhere around that conversation. So yeah, I'm going to encourage you to do it, and I'm going to encourage myself to. I'm going to try and do a better job. Not that I'm going to do it perfect, not that you're going to do it perfect, but how about this? How about we all work on this together as the people of God? Just a little more. You know, I don't understand this circumstance, but I thank you that you're with me in it, and we'll bring it about with a stellar ending. With the ending that you desire, that'll bring glory to you, and it's for my benefit. I just cannot fathom that the Lord would be displeased with his children being appreciative. It's almost like you can't even believe it. If my children told me thank you every time we engaged, first of all, I'd fall out of my chair. Let me just say that real quickly. If my kids said thank you all the time, I'd be like, oh, they're possessed or something because they never do that. And my point in saying that to you is that it rarely happens. But it shouldn't be that way with us and the Lord. We should be more thankful. We should be more appreciative. We should be more grateful. Yeah, I know the trial's terrible. So hard. It makes me want to cry sometimes. But you know what? If I actually believe God loves me, I mean, if I really forget the lingo. If in my being I actually believe that God loves me and that he cares about me, then he knows every nuance I'm going through in regards to my grandson. And I thank him that he's going to bring glory out of this situation and a marvelous testimony to his glory and to the benefit of the kingdom of God. And that's what you got to do. You think, oh, that's crazy. It's crazy to lift up a mustard seed of faith. It's crazy to offer up to God a sacrifice of praise. To think that he'll work things together. I can't manipulate it. I can't say thank you and make something happen. I can say thank you and have a little bit more of a release of my actual faith than trying to control the circumstance. Have you ever figured out that some things are beyond your control? Then maybe that approach is when you trust in the Lord and I trust in the Lord and we say thank you that you are in control. And that you do know what's best, and that you will do whatever needs to be done, and it will be your will because you love me. That's the whole thing. That's the whole this whole Christian walk. It's not about some silly religious rules and this and that. That's got nothing to do with it. Christianity is a living relationship with a living God. And if you have something less, then it's not alive. And the last time, Christianity is a living relationship with the living God made possible by the redeeming work of Jesus Christ carried out through the Holy Spirit and the Father from the throne. Come on, you can do that. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a 71-hour break, then come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.